This is Minority Friday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Democrats about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul Jay and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Paul Jay continues his vacation in Arizona. He will be back on Tuesday as he's watching baseball. Joining us this morning in the Next Title studio, Janie Ward Engelking from District 18. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Good. How are things? Before we start asking you questions, I'm always curious as to how you think things are going in the legislature this year so far.
Well, I think we have to delineate between the Senate side and the House side. On the Senate side, I think, things have been going pretty well, and we've been moving through the agenda and doing our work. And I don't think that's exactly true on the House side. I think they've had a lot of bumps in the road.
And a few fights.
Major fights. Battles, I guess.
What is the best thing the Senate, in your opinion, has done this term so far?
Well, I think, I think we've been very collegial and have done a lot of collaboration on some issues, and certainly on education funding and some work with colleges and universities. So feel good about that right now.
Obviously, the election was rather contentious on a national scale. Are you happy? Does it make you at least feel better about the future that it seems like Democrats and Republicans in Idaho seem to be working together to better Idaho, as opposed to maybe on the national scale where it seems like nobody can get along with anybody?
I think that's always been the case here in Idaho, that we've worked well together. And, there are issues we can come together on and that we care deeply about, and we can move those forward. So that's always been the case. And actually, I think there's been a little more division between the Republican Party, between the right and the moderate. And so Democrats have been real players this year. They've needed us.
In education, there's a task force now that's trying to figure out exactly what does Idaho want, especially in higher education. What does Idaho need to do in terms of colleges and beyond in the near future?
Well, actually, we're meeting today. The task force will have their second meeting, the higher ed task force, and I am on that task force. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we have a plan forward yet, but we're certainly looking at a lot of issues. And funding continues to be an issue. We've cut funding for the colleges and universities drastically here in Idaho. And one of the things we hear over and over again that's a deterrent for students to go on is that it costs too much, mm-hmm. that they just don't have the money, the financial backing to do that. So it certainly has to be part of the conversation. But we can also look at ways to incentivize students to enter jobs or at least careers where there is a great need in Idaho. More internships, probably, more partnerships with business. But that's yet to be decided. We're just kind of in the initial planning stage.
Some states have looked at making community college free. Has Idaho ever moved toward that?
It was part of the discussion. We brainstormed probably about 150 ideas or thoughts, and that was certainly brought up. So it will be on the table to discuss, and I don't know exactly what our plan forward is going to be.
On the other end of the education spectrum would be pre-K, and Idaho is one of about, six states that don't fund pre-K, I guess now. Has there been any movement toward that?
The data is so clear on that. We know it's basically the best bang for our buck. We know that it works, and that if we would invest in pre-K, we would see great returns on that money. However, there's no political will right now to do that. We've got a few pilot programs going, partnerships with cities and businesses that are putting together a plan. And so we'll have real Idaho data, but it's just a heavy lift over there. There's people that think, we should not be in the business of providing that.
I can still remember, how much of a fight there was just to get kindergarten funded.
And it's still not mandatory. Right. Kindergarten, it's really kind of appalling. It's not mandatory in the state of Idaho, and it's half day. It's only funded for half day. So, we really have to begin to take a look at providing affordable daycare, and preschool for children, especially those in need. It doesn't have to be mandatory, but it certainly has to be available.
To piggyback on the mandatory, the past week or so, a couple of weeks, mandatory minimum drug sentencing has been a big topic here on the station. Is that going to go anywhere? Is it flat?
Well,
does it have hope for the last week or so?
You know, I still have hope. I can't be a Democrat in Idaho if you don't have hope. So I have hope because, you know, we need to really take a look at that. It should be left up to the judges, and they should look at every individual case because we have, you know, we have people serving sentences that nonviolent drug offense, and they're actually spending more time in prison than somebody for murder, and that's just not right. And we can do better, and I'm hoping it will advance, but it's getting late in the session. I think we'll be out of here next Friday unless we get held hostage, and you never know.
Janie Ward Engelking from District 18 is our guest on Minority Friday. Time to check traffic one last.
You're listening to Minority Friday on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. Janie Ward Engelking with us from District 18. I wanted to get your feedback on, because I was a little surprised by the turnout the other day from Senator Rebell's climate change meeting that she had. There were, 350 people that came out? Partake in that.
Yeah, I think there were probably more than that.
Okay.
Think probably more like 600.
Nice.
Plus, and it's Representative Rebell, and she's in the same district I am, and this is something that we've been very concerned about, and she took the lead on that this year, tried to get a hearing in her committee and wasn't allowed to do that, but the chairman said, but you can put one on, you know, on your own, and mm-hmm. So she's been working on that, and we had some contentious debate over the science standards in education committee. So some of those experts that we'd brought in to testify or that came in to testify made themselves available for this hearing. And it was very powerful, I think.
There were there was some motion yesterday in the legislature about taxes. Now, tell me, we still have a sales tax, but do we not have one on groceries anymore? Is that what's going on?
Well, if this bill were to go through the House now, the House has to concur.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, and it's an interesting process, but Mike Moyle's tax cut bill was sent to the amending order. And what was done is we took a new bill, and they call it radiator cap, because basically what's left of that original bill or mm-hmm. car is the radiator cap, and we put a new bill on top of it. And so the new bill says that we would exempt sales tax on groceries, but the type of groceries that are used for SNAP. So wouldn't include everything, but the basic groceries that people need to buy. And so that's basically what's there now, and it will proceed to the House, and I don't know what will happen there. It had it was an interesting process, and the Democrats sided with that, and so because of, you know, that, we were able to get that done, and it was very interesting.
What was the original intended outcome of Moyle's bill?
Well, it was to give a tax cut to corporations, and also to give a percentage of the income tax cut, mm-hmm. not only to corporations, but to the wealthiest Idahoans. It was going to be amended to maybe give that same tax cut to all Idahoans. But when you look at a 10%, you know, a 0.1% tax cut, and you're not making very much, you get $20,
right.
You know, and somebody else who's making a lot more money gets it. So it wasn't really what we thought would be fair. We thought if we're going to do a tax cut, which I'm not totally sure we have the money to do it this year, we've got, you know, we've provided $52 million for emergency relief from the flooding. We still have roads to take care of. We have we're on third year of the career ladder for education. We have a fourth and a fifth year. So we've got bills coming up that have to be paid, and certainly transportation's weighing heavy on all of us because we know we've got to do something there. So I'm not convinced necessarily we have the money, but if we in fact do have the money and we're going to have a tax cut, let's make sure it works for everybody, every Idahoan.
I'll lead you right into the transportation. We had the Republicans in yesterday, and that's high on their list also. Obviously, the winter that we had this year exposed a lot of transportation issues with roads and bridges and everything. Where does that sit?
Well, we've got to do something, and, you know, we should have done more 2 years ago when we addressed this issue. We put a Band-Aid on it then instead of really addressing it, and so now we're back again. We've got to deal with it. I mean, if you've driven the road from Meridian to Caldwell, you know that it's terrible. And, you know, when you have to close a freeway because of potholes, you know you've got serious issues in this state. And we've got to find the mechanism to continue to fund that because we aren't even, right now, we're not even currently funding maintenance.
If the legislature finishes in the next week or even maybe 2 weeks, if you get held up an extra week. Okay, you've got 1 week to go. What do you think will be different in medical insurance, in health insurance in Idaho than at this time last year?
Well, I'm disappointed. Yesterday, Marianne Jordan made an effort to amend the current bill that's coming through that would address the people in the gap. But we're really talking about a very few people that it would address. It put together a little pilot program. But and they're going to use the Millennium Fund money, or that's their plan, which that Millennium Fund money was originally meant to help people quit smoking and get off substances and do something for that group of people. But instead, taking that money and trying to put together a pilot program for some of the people in the gap, we could leverage that $10 million and expand Medicaid and get $90 million from the federal government, leveraging that $10 million, and we could cover the entire group of this uninsured population here in Idaho, and it would be about $143 million savings to the state of Idaho, and then also a savings to the counties and for the CAP fund and the indigent fund. But we weren't able to get that done. So at best, what we might get is a small pilot program that will address some of the most seriously ill, some primary health, certainly not any catastrophic coverage or... So we're still going to need the CAP fund. We're still going to need the indigent fund. We're still going to be picking up the bill for many of those people that have to go to the emergency room because they have no other option. So
probably we're in a situation now, and I think most everyone would agree, that it's smarter for people to keep wellness as part of the health care than it is to deal with the situation after the fact.
Yeah, and that's what we're not providing for these people, where they don't have that option. They can't go to a doctor, so what they have to do is wait till they're seriously ill or it's an emergency and they go to the emergency room.
Senator, we thank you for your time this morning on KBOI. That's all the time we have.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in. Hope you're not held hostage. I hope you get out of here next Friday. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
8:56 now on 670 KBOI. Chris and I will be back after national news and local news with Rick, and it's Open Phones Friday on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it...
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J. continues his vacation in Arizona watching a little baseball. He'll be back on Tuesday. Quick thing for you before we start, Chris.
All right.
It is Open Phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. We've talked about everything this week, so call us because we know something about everything. So I Googled.
People are going to prove you wrong immediately.
I know, exactly. The very first call, they're like, I don't know. So I Googled famous Irish bands because, of course, it's St. Patrick's Day.
So like U2.
So... And they always come up with those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
See how many of the first five
well, hang
pictures
on.
You can get.
Well, okay, I would guess U2 is probably
U2's number one, yes.
And are there any solo artists like Van Morrison?
No, they're all band. They're all like, groups.
Like the Coors, are they in there?
The Coors, number four. Oh, well done.
Okay. The Young Dubliners?
The Dubliners are number three.
Okay.
You have two left.
How about the Irish Rovers?
No.
Okay. Well, they weren't that great.
One band is from the... You don't get to play. Sit over there by yourself, Todd, with 1D. One band is from the 70s.
The only millennial we have doesn't get to answer this.
Exactly. Okay. One is from the 70s. One is from the 90s.
Irish band from the 70s. Like Thin Lizzy or somebody?
Number two, Thin Lizzy.
Wow.
Well done. Now the 90s, my friend.
90s is basically
where
my...
89.
That's about where my knowledge ends.
89, 90 would have been when they were popular.
And who was it?
The Cranberries.
Oh, okay.
Greatness of the Cranberries.
I would not have come up with Cranberries.
So there you go.
Unless it was Thanksgiving.
My favorite Irish band of all time, U2.
Good.
Of course, one of my favorite bands of all time is U2.
Yeah, but they've sold a lot of albums.
They've done some things. Mm-hmm. They've done some things. It's so weird when you click on abcnews.com and the first story is about Charles Manson. And it's not his death.
Yeah.
Do they have a special tonight?
Why is it never his death? I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know how good people die really early.
Yeah.
And well, Chuck has lived to be 80.
As Billy Joel said, only the good die young.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not really sure how that works.
Well, what is the story about him today?
I guess ABC is having a special on him tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so obviously the website.
In case there are kids growing up without nightmares?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Exactly.
So
yes!
My wife was telling me that. You know, she's, you and she are the same age. And so
yes.
When all that happened, she was about 8 years old with Charles Manson. And she told me one time that she always had these dreams when she was about third, fourth grade, that there were, you know, people who would come into her house while, you know, she was in there sleeping and stuff, and they would rob the house and kill people. And,
sure.
And there was always some terrible... And she says, I wonder why I had those nightmares. And I said, are you serious?
Because it was 1969 at one time?
I said, it was in the news every single evening.
Yeah.
And if you had, one, two, or three channels, I mean, the news was all that was on at a certain time. And if you were a kid, you saw what was on the news. And, yeah, chances are, if it scared you, you had a nightmare about it. But I told her that had to be it, and she kind of made the connection at that point.
I have an update. Yesterday, we were talking about Monopoly.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about the new piece. USA Today has the story.
They have the scoop. It wasn't supposed to be announced until Sunday.
Well,
they beat everybody to it.
And I win. The T-Rex.
Oh.
Will replace the thimble in the Monopoly game. And I voted for the T-Rex.
Hmm.
I couldn't be happier
somehow
than I am right now.
Somehow I thought I'd be more excited when I found out, which I'm not for some reason. I wish his little hands would have been out more.
I didn't
vote. Anyway.
It's kind of flat hand. He's flat backed.
The T-Rex or the president?
The T-Rex.
The T-Rex. Okay.
And his little hands are off by his side like he's looking for his wallet or something. I wish they'd been more out front.
So it's like the T-Rex from, Toy Story.
Yes, it looks exactly like the T-Rex from Toy Story as opposed to the one from Jurassic Park.
Well, yeah. That was pretty scary.
Eating a lawyer.
Right.
Which is not good.
That was the one funny scene, but then most of the time he was really scary.
Right? That was some scary parts there. Rich in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, all these crazy lies that Trump keeps telling, I mean, are you starting to think that maybe he has some sort of a dementia problem? I mean, he just totally makes up this story, you know, that Obama illegally tapped him. And it's not the only story that he's just completely made up. I mean, at this point, don't you start thinking maybe there's something wrong with him that he reads this stuff in these tabloid magazines and believes it?
There's another thing that I've been thinking about this whole thing, you know, when he said that he'd been bugged and whatnot. Something in Washington, something on the grapevine there in Washington has come out that he's pretty sure nobody would know unless his phones were tapped. Now, it doesn't necessarily need to be that way because they tap the phones of like the Russian ambassador and people like that. And if he happens to be talking to an American, they'll hear some of it, but they'll try to, or they're supposed to anyway, they're supposed to not listen to the part where the American's talking, blah, blah, blah. But even if he's talking to some other Russian, if he talks about something that an American is doing, they hear that. And so I'm thinking there is something out there that the FBI or the CIA, somebody has on Trump, and he thought the only way they could have gotten it was if they'd have bugged his offices, but that's not the case.
Well, I just think he's loony. He keeps throwing out all these excuses, just like the one you said, like he heard something.
Yeah.
Or the other day, the British intelligence did it. They keep throwing out all these crazy things, one after another, and they've been doing it for 3 weeks, you know, like the wires was in quotes. I don't know what the hell that made difference. But this isn't the only time. I mean, he did that.
Well, and the wires being in quotes is simply because every time Sean Spicer has to talk about it and defend what the president says, he said, well, he didn't mean that literally. He meant, when he said wiretapping, he meant just general surveillance.
Well, yeah, but there's not even any evidence of general surveillance, and he used wiretapping not being in quotes. I mean, they're just doing all kinds of, I mean, just like his idea that, you know, he saw people protesting in the United States after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
Muslims, how he saw how people on buses were going from New Hampshire to New Jersey to vote. It's just one after another. Or that Obama was born in Kenya. It's just one after another
mm-hmm.
of these crazy things that he gets from tabloid newspapers and believes them, or he just makes them up himself.
All right, Rich.
Just, we've got to acknowledge there's a problem.
Thanks for calling in. The problem is that tabloids sometimes actually do have real breaking news in them. And I go
you mean
to
the, like in the movie Men in Black.
Yeah. I go to Daily Mail UK, which is a tabloid in mm-hmm. Great Britain.
Yeah.
But they had the day after.
It's owned by Rupert Murdoch,
yes.
who is the owner of Fox News
yep.
and what else?
What you call it?
The New York Post.
New York Post.
Yeah, right.
The day after Prince died, they had that it had been a codeine or Vicodin or whatever addiction that killed him.
It was a drug overdose,
The day after, they had that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took like 2 weeks for everybody else to go, hey, Prince died of a drug overdose. It's like, hey, we had it.
Because the tabloids, just like blogs and stuff like that, will say, word on the street is this is happening.
Yes.
Now, they won't necessarily have any proof. Now, if you're writing a story that's actual journalism, you can allude to something by saying, okay, I interviewed so-and-so, and he said this is what's going on.
Yes.
Okay, so all you do is quote somebody. You don't give it as fact. You say this is what the president said, or this is what Sean Spicer said, or whatever. That's also journalism, but the best journalism is when you actually look it up yourself and do some research and figure it out, and then you know whether something people have said is right or wrong. But also, if you can't find any proof of something, the only thing you can do is quote somebody. But the tabloids, quite often, especially in England, just say that most people on the street are saying this happened, so
yep.
that's what happened.
Yeah, so that's what happened. So I'm just saying that sometimes, and the National Enquirer has gotten things right. Now, they've gotten boatloads of things wrong.
Yeah.
But they've had some things right. So it's not always a broad brush that tabloidy journalism is terrible journalism.
Right.
Terrible journalism is terrible journalism.
Well, yeah.
I don't care if it's the Washington Post or the National Enquirer.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter for whom you're working. I mean, you know, those guys that have worked for the New York Times and were sued for making up things. It happened there.
Yeah.
It happens on small town papers. It happens in gossip rags. It happens all over the place.
I miss the Weekly World News because I have no idea what's going on with Bat Boy now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure he's working for a baseball team.
Probably. 916. Jason and Star, Randy in the Magic Valley, we will talk to you next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
921 KBOI rewards code, SAINT, as in St. Patrick's. S-A-I-N-T. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword SAINT, get your 5,000 Shamrocks.
An instant message here. Debbie of Meridian wrote in, and okay, you tell me how you interpret this. Yeah, it is so crazy. You all in the media reported about how things were discovered about the people he appointed for his cabinet being quoted from wiretaps. Get real.
Makes perfect sense to
me. Well,
I
can't remember what exactly we said that she was replying to.
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, okay.
Jason and Star, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I got some things to say and then hear what you guys think.
Okay.
We don't know what's going to happen with this Trump stuff, but I'm not a dumb guy. And if I was in office, and these are intelligent people, I think they'd have done it in a sneaky, subversive way. They're not going to leave a bunch of evidence. And if anything comes out, They'll probably have a get-out-of-jail-free card because they'll be able to lump it under national security. We had to investigate because of Russian collusion or the notion of such. We just don't know how that's going to turn out. The other matter was, I'm listening to you guys talk about the tabloids, that the UK Daily Mail is actually quite impressive.
Yes, I love it.
And Piers Morgan, who was a real liberal maniac on CNN, you know, and he hated the Second Amendment so bad, it ruined his shows after a while, and he got kind of had to lose his job. But he's over there with a prominent position with the Daily Mail, and he's actually quite moderate or even conservative sounding at times. And the last point was John Edwards got ruined, and the story was broken about him when he was running with John Kerry, and it was a tabloid that was the only one that busted him about his whole thing with that lady that, you know, ruined his run.
Yeah, no, I, you're right about Piers Morgan and the fact that he is a conservative, according to, you know, Great Britain. He's a conservative over there, and he has a column in the Daily Mail UK. I love the website. I can't get enough of it. In fact, next week when I fill in, most of my ridiculous stories will be from the Daily Mail UK.
That's right. In fact, news sources in the U.S. are starting to cite the UK Daily Mail. I think what might be confusing is the Daily Mail is very, very large. They cover a lot of things. So they do have probably their sections that are kooky, you know, UFOs, Bigfoot, whatever. I don't pay attention to those areas. But they have very legitimate news sources and do very legitimate reporting. So if somebody tries to chalk them up as not a valid source, it might depend on which entertaining aspects you go to their website. But they are quite valid and they are quite impressive. Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, Jason, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
A lot of the newspapers in England tend to be that way, that inside the newspaper there are terrific stories, but the front will be something that gets you to buy it.
Yeah. They do have a lot of, you know, UFO encounters, and they show these grainy pictures from Mars showing or grainy pictures from the moon showing a hidden base on the moon. It's like, okay, that's just a rock formation.
But again, that'll get you to buy the paper, and then you open up an inside, just all stories about Parliament.
And to his first point about, or you know, if they find out anything about the...
Right.
Here's the thing that's frustrating to me. Trump throws out all these allegations, and everybody's poo-pooing it, saying, well, there's no evidence, so we don't, you know, it's a load of crap. Yet the Russians hacking and spying for the election and affecting that, I haven't seen any evidence of that, and that's all believable. Everybody's buying into that, but nobody buys into anything that Trump or Spicer say. And what I'm saying is I think they're both a load of crap sometimes.
Well, I think it depends on, like, for instance, if you're watching national news, if you're watching CNN, you might think, wow, nobody's buying into what the president is doing. And then if you turn over to Fox, you think, wow, everybody's buying into what the president is doing.
Or they get a gun pointed at them.
But they do. They just come at it from completely different angles. CNN, they might as well start every one of their programs with, here's another stupid thing that happened today. Because that's all they talk about.
By the way, CNN, if it's true, CNN is in hot water with Sean Hannity. Because they reported that he pointed a gun at Juan Williams with the red sight on him after a contentious episode on his show. And both men are coming out today saying that's a load of crap, never happened.
Yeah.
And so... And, of course, Sean Hannity had put fake news in his tweet.
Again, some things that don't happen, you know, seem understandable.
Exactly. 9:26. All right, Randy, Rocky, Mike, hang on for me. We'll get you after the news. That's up next with Rick Worthington on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, 9:36. Chris and I only have 20 minutes left together. Before he's on vacation.
Yeah, parting is such sweet sorrow.
You don't even sell that well.
No, I said the sweet part.
No, that's true.
Ron of Boise says, regarding the wiretapping news story, the New York Times ran a story on January 20th that wiretapping data was being used to investigate President Trump's associates. If they are recording the aides, they will also get conversation between the aides and Trump himself. So is the New York Times a tabloid newspaper? No, I don't think so.
I would agree with you.
And that's part of the problem is there could be somebody whose secrets are getting out there who is not being, he's not under surveillance, but his secrets are getting out there because he might be talking to someone who is under surveillance.
Yes.
Or somebody could just be talking about him that has a meeting with him and then, you know, and then they're under surveillance. And so they go and talk about him with other people. There are a lot of different ways a story can get out.
Randy in the Magic Valley, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Great, beautiful morning. Thanks. I like that saying that goes, people who live in glass houses shouldn't cast stones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, when you look at what it's human nature for us to believe what we really want to believe. I mean, most people are that way. And then you look for, you know, information or whatever to support what you want to believe. So, you know, as far as the news media and, you know, people basically reporting the news is what, you know, how they want us to see it. I think that's, I think that goes on all the time. But as far as, you know, being either honest or dishonest, I think that Director Comey, when he testified before Congress, was, I think he was basically honest about the Hillary Clinton investigation. You know, he did make a subjective call, and he said that, you know, probably most prosecutors wouldn't take the case because there was no intent involved in her activities.
So they thought of it as just negligence then.
Yeah, I mean, but even that rises to the level of serious crimes when you consider that, you know, people in that position, even by negligence, can jeopardize the security of the country.
And, you know, all across America, we have manslaughter laws that are just simply based on, well, somebody died, but it wasn't, you didn't mean to kill them, but it was your fault because you were negligent. So that's manslaughter.
Yeah, even an inaction can be unlawful.
Especially if you are one of the top politicians in the country.
Yeah, or even an action with no intent can, like you say, can be negligence.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I believe the director told the truth. I don't think he lied to Congress, but then he said that any reasonable prosecutor wouldn't take the case. Well, that's a subjective call. It's not right or wrong. It was just his view at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and again,
thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
He was the one, I guess, that they called on to make that call. So
yes, they called on him to make that call.
Exactly. Bob of Meridian says Trump's allegation about wiretapping of Trump Tower could be related to the leak of General Flynn talking to the ambassador from Russia, which was a clear violation of the FISA laws. If a U.S. persona's communications are intercepted. By, I guess that should be persons in communications are intercepted by accident. By law, the U.S. person's communications must be minimized in such a way that information identifying the U.S. person isn't stored or disseminated except under some special conditions. And again, you run into this reminds me of Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Baylor University. They have kind of a or have had the last decade or so. They've had, this sort of thing starts at the top, but they have this way about them where they always want to bend the rules as far as they can without necessarily breaking them. So once they wanted to go to a track meet and a bunch of the coaches wanted to go to a track meet and see this guy that they wanted for the football team.
Yes.
You know, obviously he was very fast. Well, they wanted him for wide receiver or cornerback or something. And but the rules wouldn't let them go and watch him run track at his school. So what they did, and this was actually okayed by somebody in the Baylor administration, they said, can we go to the track meet, but when this kid runs, we will stand up and turn our backs to the track and not watch him run. And the guy said, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, the NCAA did see something wrong with that. They thought, okay, now you're just being an idiot.
Now you're just being ridiculous. Exactly. We came here to see you run. Are you going to see me run? No.
But again,
no,
I mean, it's like there are plenty of people who they spend their entire lives that way. As soon as they figure out what the rules are, they try to figure out some way to push the envelope as far as they can without busting it.
Even if it doesn't help them.
Yeah.
Like in that situation, it wouldn't have helped them to not see that kid run.
It's kind of an impulse with a lot of people.
Yeah. Rocky, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Yeah, it is a good morning, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Catch it while you can, I guess. Listen, remember that some time ago that Democrats' leadership said, well, it's not that we have proof, it's the seriousness of the allegation that needs to be investigated. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you made a very good point. earlier, and you said that Trump mentions that he's being wiretapped, and that's all poo-pooed, but there's no evidence at all that the Russians had anything to do with anything on the election that affected it at all, yet that's being perpetuated. Now, listen, you know, you can't have it both ways, but the Democrats are, they're absolutely the most amazing liars I've ever heard in my life. Remember, you can keep your doctor if you like him, or Benghazi was on a video, and Rich has a nerve to call Trump a liar. I can't, it's almost incredible. It's hard to believe that these morons would actually relate something that they've already done and try to accuse somebody else on it. It's just amazing to me. It's almost as bad as global warming.
All right, Rocky, have a great day, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Right, you
Thanks
too.
For calling in.
A lot of the reporters are running into this, especially with Sean Spicer.
Yes.
Where they accuse someone of something, and what the accused brings up is that other people have done it too.
Yeah.
To which, I don't know if you've ever said that to a teacher or a parent, but...
Doesn't go very far.
They don't really accept that as an excuse.
They do not.
In other words, they'll tell you something that two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
Or yes, what they did was also wrong, but we're talking about you today.
Whereas two lefts do make a right.
Yeah, well, three actually.
Well, yeah, true. Three lefts make a right.
Right. I took driver's ed here in Idaho.
Oh, see, I took it in New Mexico.
All right, I understand.
We didn't pay attention to anything. 9:44, coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Mike in Middleton. Plus, I have a new article from the USA Today, which will not surprise anyone, about the SCOTUS. That's next on 670 KVOI. We are down to our last 7 minutes. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. Todd with 1D, better known as the Rockefeller Skank.
Was this where I was supposed to say I was heartbroken?
No.
Okay.
I've already heard
say that
once.
I'll do it again later.
As promised, Mike in Middleton, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Hey, not too bad. Just wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up on the allegations that Trump is claiming that his phones were wiretapped. And people are calling him a naysayer about that. Don't kid yourself. It's all electronic. If you know the codes and the passwords and how to get into it, you can tap anybody's phone anywhere. I retired from the telephone company, and in the days when I hired in, we had to physically and manually do that, okay? And we did have paper records and paper trails, but now, since everything is electronic, there's no records. I could tap your phone or anybody else's, and if I wanted to, I could cause your phone to ring with nobody on the other end.
Hmm.
True fact. So don't count anything he's telling you as a lie or misconception. It can be done. If I knew the codes and had access to the equipment, I could tap anybody's phone anywhere in the country. In the old days when it was electromechanical, meaning relay equipment, you would have to do that physically.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the electronic world, it can be done.
All right, Mike, thanks for the insight and the terrifying knowledge. Because he's right. If you've ever seen the show The Wire, which is the greatest show ever on TV,
it's not on anymore.
Well, yeah. But they had to go get, you know, the physical. You had to literally click to get it. Now maybe you don't have to anymore.
Dave Boise says, it's funny to hear people that don't or won't believe the UFO or Bigfoot stories, even when there is a grainy picture or out of focus one. Maybe at the time the person capturing the photo is a little shook up, or maybe the UFO is making it so we can't get a good picture of them. Who knows? It's really easy to change your mind after it's been proven true, but that's kind of a closed mind way of looking at things, isn't it? Here's how I will answer that. There's a difference between being open-minded and being gullible. Now, you can say, I'm open-minded because I'll believe anything, you know, that, or not I'll believe anything, but I'll give anything a try.
My guess is after a certain number of times, not everything is still worth a try.
Seriously, in that Bigfoot picture, I think he's actually wearing a Rolex watch. You can kind of see it as he's walking by, and you're like, dude, take the watch off.
It's that year they were making the grainy kind.
Exactly. They were making the grainy watch. Rolex had that. All right.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say there's no such thing, you know, as any of these monsters, or there's no such thing as a UFO. I really don't know. But no, I've said this before. People ask me, well, do you believe that we've been visited by UFOs? No, I don't.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. There is no such thing as the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot. Now, other life on other planets, it's a really big universe.
Sure.
Anything's possible
but
there.
But like I said, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that.
But if you want to know whether I think they've actually, you know, come down to Earth and have messed with things, I'm just going to go with no.
There's a chance that some of the people who are on Earth aren't from Earth. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Again, the Men in Black movies just seem so real.
Well, yeah, because Will Smith would never make a movie that's not real. A majority of Americans, this is from USA Today,
okay,
believe that the Supreme Court is split politically, according to a new poll. The survey found 62% believe justices are split on political grounds like Congress. Comparatively, 38% said the court acts in a serious and constitutionally sound manner.
There are an awful lot of 5-4 votes.
Yes.
For the whole thing to be serious and constitutional, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it usually seems like the same 5 are on the same side and the same 4
are on the same side.
All
exactly. 3 in 5 Americans believe the high court is split into parties because they are presented no evidence to the contrary.
Well, there's no, I mean, you know, they're not technically parties. It's nonpartisan or
yeah,
or just, you know,
supposed to be.
Exactly.
The absence of TV cameras inside the Supreme Court for oral arguments has allowed others to define the court.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Greene, who's with PSB, which is the group that did the polling, said allowing cameras for oral arguments would provide a counterbalance to other sources of information on the Supreme Court, including the president, Congress, and the media. According to the poll, 76% of Americans think the court should allow coverage of its oral arguments. What are your thoughts on the Supreme Court having cameras inside the courtroom there on that for oral arguments and their decisions?
I'm going to go with no.
I don't think I like it either. I don't think I like cameras in the regular courtroom.
I think I would have enjoyed the 90s a lot more had there not been any cameras in the OJ trial.
Yeah, I don't know that there needs to be that. Now, I would love if whoever gets appointed by whomever is president at the time, I would love if that person would just go, I'm going to be a constitutionalist.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It doesn't matter that I registered Republican or registered Democrat or voted this, mm-hmm. that, or the other when I was. But as soon as I got on the Supreme Court, all I did was look at what the framers of the Constitution said,
right,
and I'm going to base my decisions on that.
Yeah. I simply don't like the fact that in the Senate hearings, they always ask them, now, if this came up before you, how would you vote?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard the case yet.
I was going to say, yeah, can I with the information you've just given me, I wouldn't vote. Because it's a ridiculous premise. All right, Chris, have a great vacation.
Oh, thank you.
I will be in next week. Monday, it's Nate. The rest of the week, it's Paul J. Rush comes up after national and local news. Then you got, I almost said a different name, Michael Savage at 1 o'clock. Then Nate Shellman at 3. Enjoy St. Patrick's Day. Be safe, everybody. 670 KBOI.